8 p.m. Okay, first item on the agenda is the call to order. Then we move to two, recognition of board members. Director Jerminski, will you please do a roll call? Did I lose you?
I feel like we're doing really well so far. So
did you hear that?
I did. Let me just pull up my list real quick.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad I passed the hot potato to you.
All right. All right. Board member Lim.
Yes.
Board member Les.
Here.
Board member Hobick.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Board member Klein.
Present.
Board member or President Fontes.
Present.
And we have Assistant Attorney General Jeannie
Galvin. Hello.
Yeah, Jeannie Galvin. She's also present, along with Richard Graham, our licensing coordinator, and myself, David Jerminski, the executive director.
Okay, declaration of conflicts of interest. Does my being a candidate for licensure represent a conflict of interest?
It does not.
No.
Then I have nothing to declare. Does that somebody else? Anybody of our members have any other conflicts of interest? Hearing none, moving to four. Review, discussion, and possible action regarding state statute and rules changes. Item A, SB 1163, and then we have to also do B, the five-year rule review. Director Jerminski, will you brief us on SB 1163?
Absolutely, President Fontes, board members. This has been kind of a long time coming. Thankfully, we were able to get it through this legislative session. The governor did sign it. And so this bill will become law 90 days past the end of the legislature. When that is a great question, because it seems like the last few years they just wanted to keep going forever. So it could be September or August or October, just kind of depends on when the legislature ends.
So if it's September, then it would be into law in January, November?
No, meaning it would become effective as of that date.
Oh, as of that date. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have a little time.
Yeah, we have just a little bit of time.
Okay.
And so what we need to do over the next couple of meetings is to develop what's called a substantive policy statement in order to... which is kind of the first step in the rulemaking process to define these new parameters. And so just really shortly, just to jog your memory, what this bill did is it modified the educational requirements for our homeopathic practitioner license, so that instead of having instead of the only path, the educational path person could take would be to get a doctorate of homeopathy, a person could also receive training in acupuncture or physical therapy, chiropractic, naturopathy, and then add on additional hours of postgraduate courses in homeopathy specifically in order to gain that license. And so this is different from our homeopathic physician's license, which most of you hold. This is kind of the mid-level license, which only does classical Hahnemannian homeopathy and nutrition. And so what we need to do is we need to come up with an exam for this license type. We need to come up with a way to regulate it, a new application. New renewal process, new a fee for this license type, and then and so on and so forth in order to enact this legislation, basically.
Can I put it into perspective? Mm-hmm. So I've been personally working on this for the last 16 years. And what this does is when I came to the board 16 years ago, there were about 120 licensees. My guess is we're right around 65 right now. If it went any below 58, we would not be a solvent board. We wouldn't have the money to pay David. We would have to fold the board, and everybody would lose their ability to practice in Arizona. So I know that we've been banging the drums at AHIMA for the last 20 years with negative results. So the option that I took was to follow Nevada. Was it Nevada?
Yes, Nevada has
Nevada, a similar license. And what they did is they opened up the licensure to practitioners, and now they have a robust board that is not in danger. And so this is what I foresee happening here. So anybody who wants to practice as an MDH can feel free to do that until they don't want to do it anymore. And it opens up the board to now have jurisdiction over our licensees. Whereas before, the lay practitioners were practicing outside of the board. So we had no jurisdiction, no ability to regulate what they were doing, no. Really, they were just kind of wild westing it on the tag of an exemption with this board. Now that exemption still remains, but you know, I think that not only is there going to be a flood of practitioners, there's going to be a bunch of people from other countries coming in and wanting to become a homeopathic doctor in the state of Arizona. So we are really about to enter a new era in homeopathy for Arizona. And we are the first in the nation to offer a homeopathic doctorate degree. Now, we had this set up, what was it, about 10 years ago, maybe a dozen years ago, when we had this legislation approved for the homeopathic doctor, and the criteria was that you would graduate from a homeopathic medical school. And so we had the medical school here in Arizona, and in fact I did my first 2 years there, and then the accreditors, we applied for accreditation, and the accreditors at the college stated that you guys passed all of the requirements to become an accredited institution, but we don't want to be the first ones to accredit a homeopathic college. So we're going to not approve you, not because you didn't pass the requirements, just because we don't want to be the first. So we had to close the college, and we had to basically shut down that business because it went bankrupt, because we had to give all the medical students their money back. And then the college was sold to the acupuncture school. And here we are a dozen years later, and there was no pathway for that licensure since we were the only homeopathic medical school. Now, as it stands, it's very similar to the MDH program or the licensure, where you have your license and then you have to demonstrate training and competency in the modality for your licensure. In this case, it's just classical homeopathy and nutrition, not chelation, neuromuscular integration, all that stuff, just these few modalities. So I hope that gives you a little bit of wider scope of what's going on here.
All right, thank you. Thank you, President Fontes. It gives us kind of a historical and good overview of this. So it's awesome. And so
so what's the next step? So we should keep the momentum and move it through.
Yeah.
So basically we're here to process. We're the we need to create a pathway, you know, a lot of paperwork, application, testing, and create the infrastructure now. So when this thing is passed, then people can, we can process applications.
So can we pass it today so that we can start the infrastructure?
Well, we can't, President Fontes, board members, we can't approve a substantive policy statement for legislation that doesn't technically yet exist. So we can start the process now.
Yeah, I would start
to develop it, but the board wouldn't be able to vote to approve it until probably after the legislation went into effect.
Which is fine, because when you do your homework, it's like you're building a house. So when the big boy tells us it's ready, then we can show them already.
Exactly. You have a hand up? Can you turn on your microphone?
That would help. A substantive policy statement is often helpful for agencies when they need to fill a gap between what the statute requires and maybe what the rules provide. But it's a substantive policy statement under its definition is advisory only, and it cannot impose additional requirements on regulated parties. So I'm not sure what portions of the legislation or the bill that you are thinking about implementing through a substantive policy statement, but I think we'd have to be careful that we don't try to wholesale enact 1163 via a substantive policy statement. I don't see, David, that there was session law in the bill that would exempt you from the rulemaking process for a year or so. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I know we want to, get moving on this as quickly as we can, but my review of 1163, much of it is going to have to be done through the rulemaking process and what you have in statute, which is pretty fairly specific.
Yeah, again, and President Fontes, board members, Jeannie, I agree. A lot of this, a lot of this is pretty specific in the statute. So, we could, could almost go forward with it, without the rules. But we do need to obviously get some rules done to provide some additional clarity and kind of hash out the application and that sort of thing. The rule process is, it's a long process. It's a 9-10 month process, right? So, in the meantime, we do want to provide some sort of direction to our licensees and applicants. So, while staying within the confines of what's allowable, obviously.
So do you need to set up like a subcommittee to iron out all these things? Because I'm not the expert at all, so I'm just waiting for guidance.
Yeah, so President Fontes, board members, my request would be that a couple, two board members, maybe three, and myself, and probably Richard would sit down over a Zoom call or whatever, and really talk about what this legislation means, and then hash out what we think it would look like to enact it and write some regulation for it, and then bring that back to the board at a future board meeting for you all to review together and approve.
Good.
So if you have three members, that's a committee, but it's also a quorum of the board. So you'd
three
have
members?
You have five board members, correct?
We have a 7-member board, but we have 5 appointed.
Okay, so 7-member board, 5 appointed.
I think we could handle this with Richard, Director Derminski, and myself. Unless there's anybody else who has expertise in these, but I created the exams, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that.
I like what you suggest. I think small and efficient. So can we vote to have the three of you spearhead this?
Is there any other board member that's interested in working through this process, or?
I'm interested, but I'm really naive. They say zero experience. I guess I can be coached. If you need a number four.
I feel we can handle it. I've done this.
We will be fine, yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's just a unit.
I think three is better than four, right? Because I think three, at least you have the seasoned team that can do all these things.
So that being the case, President Fontes, board members, I think that I can take the direction of the board and come up with something with President Fontes and get back to the board at the next meeting.
Good. Yep. So we have a three member that will spearhead this. That's good.
All right.
Do we need to vote on this thing, or is that good enough?
I don't think so. Unless Dean disagrees with me, but I think I could. Yeah, I think I can just go forward with the information I've been getting here.
Yeah, let's go forward. Yeah, good.
All right.
Are we?
Yeah, we're President Fontes. Yeah.
So I want you to go on to item B if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So every 5 years, state agencies are required to review their rules and then provide that review to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. Our 5 years are up, and it's actually due on April 25th.
Oh, dear.
In a couple of days. So I've prepared.
I didn't know about this one.
Yeah, I prepared a review of the rules that was in your packet that was sent out to you. What that is a statement of the objective and the statutory backing behind each of the existing rules, and then a review of whether or not the rules are doing what they're supposed to do, whether we're using all of them, and whether they're enforceable and clear, concise, and understandable. And so I've put a lot of information into this for the GRC review, and included some information about 1163. I think some of the questions they're going to have are, why didn't you fix some of the issues from your last rule review? And the answer is, we've been trying to get this legislation passed that would help do that. And so we're looking forward to making some rules during the next year. So.
Would that streamline the whole process?
No. I mean, this is a separate, the 5-year rule review is separate from a regular rulemaking, which is what we'll have to do to enact 1163. And so what we'll end up doing is we'll make rules for 1163. And at the same time, we're going to run other rule changes with that package to, you know, add email address requirements, to remove, you know, notarization because we've gone online, and, you know, things like that. So
separate but not equal.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, ran at the same time, but separate issues. That's right. And so I would ask that if you're okay with what I've got here in this rule review, if you'd approve that, and I can submit that to GRC.
And that's the one in the grid. I had some notes on that one.
Yes, that's the 2024 5YRR document, 5-year rule review.
All right, I trust that you guys all had time to review that. I only had one comment, and unfortunately, I printed everything out, so I have a sea of paper on my desk. There is one that references the R4-38-115.
Mm-hmm.
Do we, and I thought we did this, maybe I made it up, but I thought we did like a search through the rules before for homeopathic physician. Do we need to do another search and figure out when we need to include, change it to licensees or include doctors and practitioners?
Right. So, yeah, President Fontes, board members, that's exactly the sort of thing that I'm talking about. Is that, you know, now that 1163 has gone through, we have additional titles. And so we're going to have to do a rulemaking in order to modify, 38-115 and many other rules. Right. So this is going to be kind of a large rulemaking rule package.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So what do you need from us then?
What I need is if you're okay with what I have to approve the 5-year rule review and then direct me to submit it to GIRC.
Well, if that's it, I want to talk about that specific rule. Do we need to add in there?
I don't think so. You know, that'll all be part of the cleanup for the 11.
Oh, that's part of the separate but not equal. Okay, I'm good because we're going to have to go through that anyways. So This is like kind of a stopgap measure, and then we have to open it up anyways as soon as this is done. So this is more of a formal. We just have to pass go on the Monopoly board and start over.
Right. This is something we're required to do every 5 years, whether we're doing.
Okay. Well, I'm good with this because I know that we're going to have to go through this with a fine tooth comb. So to me, this is just moving the chessboard here. So I'm all in favor of approval.
So we do have the vote.
Yes. Okay. So I make a motion to approve as is.
And I will second. Whatever.
Do we have Dr. Lim seconds? Are there any opposed?
I approve.
Approve.
And President Fontes, do you want me to do a roll call?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Finnegan, feed Charlie, or I will eat him and fart in your mouth while you sleep.
All right, President, board member Les.
Is that going to be on the board?
Yay. Board member Klein.
approve.
Board member Hobick.
Aye.
Board member Lim.
Yes, approve.
And President Fontes.
Aye, but I am creeped out.
I can do a little edit there, but you.
I like where we're pretending we didn't hear that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, board member. So, with that vote, you've passed that motion.
Okay, let's move on to item number 5, review, discussion, possible action regarding executive director report. Director Jaminski.
Absolutely, board members. Just really, really briefly here, I'm trying to pull up my spreadsheet. We are moving through the year on our budget. Obviously, here we've got about $33,000 in revenue as of the end of March. However, we've only we've expended about $43,000 so far this year. So we're a little bit in the red for revenues over expenses, but we look forward to having some more renewals come in through the end of the year that should help fix that issue.
Speaking of renewals, now I know every time I ask, we're still working on how many licensees we have. Do we know how many licensees we have?
That's a great question. I can give you a really good
It would seem to me that that would be not only an accessible but an important figure. I mean, even if you didn't want to disclose it before, now that we know that we can have the board continue because we have this legislation passed, I kind of think it's important that we know.
And also, I think you need to send out notice of renewal of license. Because if you don't send out notices, nobody wants to
They're
do it.
All we moved to an e-licensing system.
We no longer
have the capacity to lick stamps.
I think it's just an email. It's good to remind because, I don't know, this e-licensing, we could be in the la-la land.
Richard, are you here? Can you address that for board member Lim?
I know it's the e-licensing. That doesn't mean... To me, I don't know the difference. You know? I mean, I have to go after it.
I can just, President Fontes, board members, I can give you a little background on that. We send out a 60-day notice email to our licensees, a 30-day notice.
I never receive those.
We send out a notice saying that your license has expired, and then we send out another notice 30 days after it expired saying that your license is no good. You'll have to reapply if you want to... work as a homeopathic physician. So they get, our licensees get several notices, but they do all go to email. So it's really important that your email be up to date with us.
And am I correct? It's this board that we no longer punish expired license? We don't have them take the test anymore.
That is part of the rulemaking.
Oh, that's still coming.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I think that's an important one. So board member Lim.
Yes.
Now, if somebody does get them to find themselves in trouble, it used to be that they would have to retake the exams. Now they no longer have to.
Okay. So, but I don't understand why I don't receive your email about the licensing, except I do receive your email for the board meeting. Do you have the same email?
I didn't get my question. Notice this round. My license renews in February, and I did let you know, or emailed you about that, David, at the time.
Yeah,
you didn't get it either.
No, and I checked my spam.
I never received it.
More to be found, so it didn't seem.
Yeah, right. We need to look into that then.
Okay.
I think the system is not perfect.
Yeah. Well, agreed. Richard, if you could look into that and get back to me and make sure that the system is sending out notices the way that it ought to.
Yeah, I'm, to put it lightly, fighting with Ventia right now, trying to figure out why certain things aren't working for homeopathy, and it hasn't helped that our contact Jordan isn't there anymore. So I'm following up with a bunch of, hey, what's going on with these work orders I put in?
Okay.
Anyway, Richard, do you have my correct email? This email's been around for 10 years. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they obviously sent one to you here, so Richard will match.
Yeah.
Richard is going to match what he has that he sends for the board, what's in the system.
Yeah, I'll definitely go in and do that.
And then same with board member Klein.
Yep.
Thank absolutely, you. And what you. You know, what we'll do is we'll look through those members who are whose licenses have been set to expire in the last few months and follow up with them to make sure that they got the notices they were supposed to get. So,
okay.
All right. So that's it as far as the executive director's report. You know. Obviously, we've got a lot of work going forward with the rule changes and updates. We're still working, you know, remotely and looking forward to doing that into the foreseeable future. And that's what I have, unless you have any questions for me specifically.
Now, and at this point, everything seems to be being handled. So other than the surprise 5-year review coming up on us real quick, I have no issues with you working remotely. Let's move to item number 6, call to the public. Do we have any public here?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so. And then 7, discussion of items to be placed on future meeting agenda. Probably the application and the test and the approval of the process.
Okay. Yeah, and like for instance, a lot of this, like I was saying, you know, a lot of these items can be done, you know, without the rulemaking process necessarily, because the statute is so specific. But we won't be able to, you know, really take a lot of motions and a lot of votes and enact a lot of this until after it goes into effect. Whenever.
That's okay. I mean, it's mostly creating a pathway and paperwork and. If it's all done and can be approved later, that's fine too. I just want to get it all done in case there's any bugs. We can discuss, you know, what needs to be done, or if somebody, you know, has issues, we can talk about it at the board before time rather than after. So we're ready to go when it's under approval. Are we agreed on that?
Yep.
Okay. So I know that this was kind of a surprise meeting. Thank you all for being here. We got a lot of good. This is personally for me the reason why I've been attending these meetings for the last 15 years. So I'm super excited about the future of this board. So thank you all for being a part of it and for your continued support over the years.
Yep, and I want to say that we have to keep the momentum going.
We will keep the momentum going.
You have to keep it moving.
Once we get this thing going, I want to have a big celebration and thank you to all of the people in the community that have worked on it. And I think we'll have it at one of the local restaurants here. And you know, whatever. Like big things that we used to do for a HEMA, you know, 15 years ago. I want to do one of those and just so everybody can come together all the time.
And then, you know, David, if you think that we have to meet, you know, like quickly, we don't have to wait, you know. It's like this, you can just organize one and we can get decision making done.
Right. Well, this is basically we authorize David to work with me to finish it and then that's present it to you as finished product.
No, that's good. I like it.
Thank all you right, all very good. Thank for being you here. This adjourns the board at 3:11 23rd. Thank you all again.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
David,
hit me up with a date so we can meet on Zoom.
Okay, good.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you so much.
Hey, David.